We're learning the book Gana Shalom. Shalom Bayit from Rav Arush. Shalom Arush Lita. We're learning through the Hebrew version.
Me and wife, we made peace. We're not talking to each other.
Oh, Hashem. Ceasefire. So we are looking at not criticizing our wives. We're in chapter 2 of Rav Shalom's book, but on page 47. We are learning what happens if somebody makes a mistake and they, by accident, criticize their wife. Bad move. So what did we say? So we said that it doesn't help, and it actually causes a person to fall further. It doesn't help them improve. Rav Arush writes as follows, page 47. Ki hametziut mare, the reality shows sherov hanashim shemochichim otam, that most people, when you rebuke them, nechalashim mikol mikach, they're weakened from this, benishbarim, and they are broken. Vomrim la'atzman, and they say to themselves, im ani kazera, if I'm so bad, eich uchal letaken et atzmi u'lishtaper, how can I fix myself and improve? V'hem miyashim et atzman, they despair, u'ma'abdim et hatikva, and they lose all hope, the shaper darkam, to improve, to fix their ways. Ba'af nofle miderech hayashar legamrei, a person can even fall from the right path completely. A person is on the right path, trying their best, doing what they can. What happens? Someone comes along and rebukes them, right? Rav Dror gave us a very lovely story a week or two ago when he was, he won't mind repeating it because he told it himself. When he was the first making tshuva, when he first went to the mikvah, and he had a lot of tattoos, Baal teshuva. He went to the mikvah, and he had a lot of tattoos. Yeah. Right, Baal teshuva. Baal Dror. Right, a lot of tattoos. What happens when you're Baal teshuva? Didn't know. Anyway, he took up the courage to go to the mikvah for the first time. Went to the mikvah, took his clothes off. One of the older gentlemen there saw the tattoos, came over to him and started, what are you doing? What did you do to yourself? How could you do such a thing? Don't you know it's asur? Don't you know it's forbidden to do such a thing? What were you thinking of? Right, just gave him a, right? He said he never went back to the mikveh for 8 months. Took him 8 months after that to pick up the courage to go back. Someone's on the right path, they're trying hard. Along comes someone who says, thinks that they've got God on their side and they're going to tell it, right? And throws you away. What's the point? I'm so bad. Exactly like Rav Arush right here. What's the point? I'm so bad.
In the same situation, years ago, it was the first time I go to meet Russian, an Arab for Shoshana. It was very early. I shower at home. It's like, I don't know. Shower at home. I go, I dress up, and I go on a meeting in the morning.
Yeah.
So one guy came and shouted me, you had to shower before. Then after the mikveh, I shower. Then he shouted again. After mikveh, you had not to shower. After, I came here, after 2 years later, the second mikveh.
Right. Best, like, if
I have a story.
Yes.
That's on Rav Brody's podcast. Uh-huh. It's about three people that went into a mikvah.
Yeah.
They all had tattoos.
Yeah.
The first one, they screened that and, you know, they had a tattoo.
Yeah.
It was from Auschwitz.
From what?
Auschwitz. The number, tattoo on Auschwitz. The second person was a Hell's Angels, a former Hell's Angels, and they complained about it. They said, this is the hell I went through. And the third one was Baal Tshuva from, you know, Berkeley or San Francisco or LA. They're just covered in tattoos.
Uh-huh.
And that's the hell that he went through.
The hell that he went through. Okay. Look, we all have our stories. Look, coming back, truth is, Hashem tests us. When we're Baal Teshuvah, Hashem tests us. Right? But we don't want to be the person that Hashem uses to test. We don't want to be the shaliach for the test. Right? Someone is going to say something nasty. It's a test. It's a test from Shemayim to see where we're holding, to see how strong we are, and to see whether... Chas v'shalom, that should be us that make the bad comment, that makes someone feel so bad.
Or you can even go, I don't know if this is proper. You go deeper. It could be that, you know, we're supposed to say, if you get a patch, there's a reason for it. It was a rod that Hashem used. I'm not talking about Rav Dror personally, just giving you an example of the situation. Could be, perhaps, an individual who got that kind of an attack, maybe didn't understand, and didn't do tshuva. It took lightly what it had to us.
For sure, everything that happens to us, every one of us, everything that happens to us, all the rebuke we get, it's direct from Shemayim, and it's exactly what we need.
Yeah.
However, the shaliach is punished.
The shaliach is punished. Is
right. So we don't want to be the shaliach.
Oh, you're talking about being the shaliach.
Right. So we don't want to be the person that
rebukes. I misunderstood you.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
That gives that rebuke.
No, we don't want to be that shaliach. That's why it's very, very difficult to give rebuke.
No,
and
exactly.
You have to be very careful.
Uh-huh. And we don't want to be that person.
No.
Alright.
You have to see something.
Okay.
And you want to reach a new level, so they test you there. So the angel is against us. Yeah? We want to come closer to Hashem, so he tests us.
Uh-huh.
Today, usually I was thinking, I have everything for a woman. Yeah? I said, I have my bed, I have a food cart, I come today, and that's what someone said, I tell you the bed. So okay. I buy the food cart, I listen to 190. Today I come, I say, I will go buy you bed, I sell my bed for the rest. Okay. Then I go buy the food cart, I understand 190, you say today 290. So I say, no, I have only 200. Okay, I have to wait. So it's like a test. Yeah, you see, you have everything for a woman. No, you lost. Now the
Okay. Okay. So criticism can even send a person off the derech, right? That he's trying very hard, someone says something negative, and it then sends them away, pushes them away.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that the rebuke can actually cause a lot of damage. And it's not what he thought, that he would actually help with his rebuke. Right? We think that the rebuke is going to help. I mean, I don't know what the person was thinking when they shouted at Rav Dror for having a tattoo. There's no way that how's that going to help? So, I mean, it's done. I mean, it's not going to help. I mean, even if he said...
Did he really do it to help, or did he do it out of anger and looking
at the history? No, but some things have a positive, you can understand that someone wants to help.
Their motive, yes.
To, like, to tell, right, if you do something wrong and someone says, no, this is, you did it wrong, you should do it like that.
Yes.
But once you've got a tattoo, I mean, once, there's no, it's not, it's like,
it's almost impossible to remove.
It's, yeah, it's Tom, that weighs through a bit. He didn't come to say, by the way, you should know there's a place that you can get surgery, you can remove it if you're Tom. Then that's got some positive benefit, but just to tell someone
that would have been a proper
motive. That would have at least had
yes.
a motive, a positive.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This even scene would have no motive other than Cena.
Yeah. But here he's writing, even though you think you've got a positive motive. So even in those cases where I come to give good advice, to reprove, to show you did something wrong, you need to do this, you can end up doing the opposite. You can end up pushing someone away and causing them a lot more damage, even though you had a good motive and a good intention. Therefore, stay away. V'chen psak l'halakha chachazon ish. That's all. Therefore, we see that the Chazon Ish made halakha, and he said, shebizman hazeh, in this time, einenu yodim lochiach, we don't know how to give rebuke, v'aleinu la'arot ava, and it is upon us just to show love. Right, we should show love, and that's the way we should give advice, instruction, education. Everything we just said above is talking about when a person rebukes his friend. All the more so, when a person would think that he should try and rebuke his wife. Because the wife needs a lot of attention and respect. And all of her life, her livelihood, her life force depends upon him. But he, she's very sensitive. The koldi bo to every word that comes out of his mouth. And she expects from her husband words of strengthening and encouragement, chiba u'mila tova, warmth and good words. She'al kein, and therefore hanezek hanigramla, the damage that's caused to her mitochacha from rebuke, shehen ha'arot shel ba'ala, which is the criticism of her husband, hu gadol ma'od la'ein aroch. It's very great and without end. Yofi, I think we've all got the point. Number three, Herot lo milot. Criticism doesn't help. Ha'isha b'tiva, a woman, a wife, by her nature, eina moda al ta'utash, does not admit to her faults. It's her nature. She's not being awkward. That's the way Hashem created her. Okay? Even if you tell her in the most gentle way, shehitoa, that she made a mistake, and all the more so, obviously, all the more so if you told her in the way of rebuke, he tishlol mikol v'kol et divrei tochacha abal al kach. Right, she can't take any of it. She will simply refuse to accept it. But in Cain, God says, "Abal lo hilviach klum." And if so, it turns out that the husband didn't gain anything. Me harot avlishtov from his criticism of his wife. Barei amu rabbeinu, and this is what our rabbi said: "Keshem she mitzvah lomar dovah hanishma." Just like it's a mitzvah to tell someone something which will be heard, mitzvah shelo lomar dovah sheino nishma. It's also a mitzvah not to tell someone something that they can't hear. Person's not going to listen to you. It's a mitzvah not to say anything. If a person is going to listen to you, so it's a mitzvah to tell them. B'hatam l'chachu, and the reason for this is im barur shelo yikablu adavav, if it's clear that the person won't receive his words. Mitzvah shalolomar kadei. It's a mitzvah not to say it. Kadei shalolahavot etachet Mishogeg Lemetit, in order not to turn the words from Shogeg to Mezid, sorry, his actions, the sin, from Shogeg to Mezid. What does that mean? So it means not to turn a person's sin from Shogeg to Mezid. Shogeg is sinning by accident, and Mezid is sinning on purpose, right? And we know that sinning by accident is a lot more acceptable, it's a lot more lenient than sinning on purpose, right? You don't want to deliberately sin. If you sin by accident, top. So what we say, so the reason why you don't tell a person who's not going to listen to you, one of the reasons why, is because if he doesn't listen to you, and you've told him what he's doing is wrong, he's no longer Shogeg. He's now amazed. He's not, right? So if a person doesn't realize that, I don't know, let's try to think, doesn't realize that it's asur to, what do people do all the time?
Eat tray.
Eat tray. Now people know it's asur to eat tray. They're doing that for me. They're not doing it by accident. But let's say if someone is mistaken, talking in shul, right? I've heard this from a rav about what you do when someone's talking in shul. Right? Someone's talking in shul, and he said exactly this. He said, if he's a person that's going to listen to you, and you should say something, you've got a duty to say something. It's not appropriate to talk in shul. But if it's a person who's not going to listen to you, don't say anything. A couple of reasons. One, you're going to cause enmity and broigus and blah blah blah, and it's not going to help, right? And you're going to potentially turn someone who throws something b'shogeg. He's not thinking about it. He's just chatting because that's his nature. He just talks, just right. But if you tell him, you know, it's a sort to do that. It's a forbidden. It's a chilul Hashem. It's all right. And he says, I don't care. Also, now he knows it's a chilul Hashem, but now he's carrying on. So you just made it much, much worse for him. At least beforehand, he could argue in the heavenly courts that I didn't realize I was just talking to my friend, and you know. So I'm passing the time of day. But then you don't say it. So you're saying the same thing. Also, maybe is another reason. It's not the main reason for not telling your wife a rebuke. But it's also, he lists here how many reasons, 8, 9 reasons. So all the different reasons not to tell. One of them is that if you tell your wife something, for example, she doesn't bench. Many women aren't really into benching. Right? And if you go home, you say to your wife, you know you should bench, it's an issur not to, it's a mitzvah deraita to grace after meals. And she's like, leave me alone. Right? You do what, if you want to bench, you are right. I'm right. You've now turned her shogeg into a mitzvah.
That's a very good example. That's a terrific example.
If she's not going to listen to you. If she will listen to you, then maybe there's a duty, but not through a rebuke, but just in teaching. You know, I learned today in Yeshiva, it's the only bracha that's actually in the Torah that says we should do it. I learned that today. Did you know that? Right? Then it's not a rebuke. Then it's just like an information that you're passing on. If you think she's going to take it and learn from it, but if she's not going to learn from it, then no.
That's still a rebuke. It's a subtle rebuke, but it is still a kind of a rebuke. You're putting that trap of
Shogeg
and
Maisie. If she's not going to listen.
Don't do it.
But if she's going to listen, then it's not a rebuke, because if it's something that she's going to do, she's going to be happy to hear, then it's not in the case of rebuke.
Oh, I see.
Right? If someone, right, be careful, don't slip on the water, don't step there. Thank you for telling me. If I'm saying don't step there, right, don't do something. If you're telling me something that's good for that, I'm going to accept and take it. But if you tell us that don't step, I'll step where I want. So then, right, then it's not something they can accept. Whatever. So we have to know what someone can accept.
You write the davening for Shavuot and Rosh Chodesh. You ask her, you pray for Rosh Chodesh. She says, oh, for God. So you have to say, you have to repeat it.
A wife doesn't. A wife doesn't. A wife doesn't. She's not obligated to pray. She's not obligated in tefillah. She's not obligated to speak to Hashem, but not in the.
Yeah.
Nachon. she's obligated to speak to Hashem at some point during the day. I think there's different opinions on what exactly she needs to say and when she says it. Obviously, if she can say, when I say, it's very good.
When she do it every day.
I don't post like anything. I don't know.
When she do it every day. So not start. But when you start, you have to do it always.
Well, Tom, look, it's a neder to just to do something more than three times on the run. It counts as a neder. So a person who they should continue, but certainly, but even if they fail and they don't, right? It's not for us to. Unless they forgot it, like for example, my wife likes to keep the mitzvah of counting the omer, right? And if it's getting late and we're going to bed, I'll say to her, "Did you count the omer?" She'll, "Oh, thanks, I forgot." Right? And she'll count it, right? Because she was happy, so it's not a rebuke. Because she wants to hear, it's something that she wants to hear.
That's a huge, really more than I do.
Hopefully.
My wife asked me, can I make slichot?
Yeah. Okay.
And I said, when you make slichot, you have to do it every day.
Why?
You cannot play.
Why?
You cannot do one day.
Why not?
I have no time.
Why not?
So she said, no,
why not? Why not? Why not? Where did you learn? Where did you learn that it says that you have to do slichot every day or not at all? Where does it say? Where does it say that you, if you're going to praise Hashem, you have to praise Him all the time, every day. Otherwise, don't bother praising Him. No, one praise, one day.
I said not to.
No. So ask a Rav. I've got a feeling that anyone who wants to say Slichot, praise to Hashem. All day, every day, if you don't do them in the morning, do them in the afternoon. If you don't do them in the afternoon, do them in the evening. Praise to Hashem. Do whatever you want. Want to do on a Tuesday in Nissan? Do it on a Tuesday in Nissan. Slichot, praise to Hashem. You're awfully wonderful.
Slichot doesn't have to be every day. But Rambam says women have to pray.
To pray. The mitzvah, the right mitzvah of tefillah. But the right mitzvah of tefillah is not the Amidah. We do it by the Amidah. That's Chazal. Okay. Yofi, Dalit. Haherot Ma'alivot. The criticism is very insulting. Kol Hera Shel Baal Lishto. All criticism of a husband to his wife. Afilu Yomra Ba'adinot. Even if it's said it gently. Yeteira Mitoch Kavana Tohora Benet. Even if he said it in the most gentlest way possible and full of really pure intentions. Mit pareshet etzla, it's felt by her, ke pegia b'mit kaven b'kavoda. It's felt like a personal, intentional attack on her kavod. Even though I had the perfectly good, kind, holy intentions, she feels it like a personal, intentional attack on her kavod, says Rav Arush. Vehi ne'levet ad amok nishmata, and she is insulted to the depth of her soul. Ve'koeset ve'shomeret tina, and she's angry and she
holds a grudge.
Holds a grudge, Yofi. She holds a grudge. Right? Even though she might smile at you and say, thank you very much for telling me, you should know that she's very angry and she's holding a grudge. Because that's her nature. Right? Her nature is to be insulted. That a woman's kavod is everything. Right? For a man, their kavod, in some cases, is also very important to them. And they get very upset if somebody stands on their kavod. That's because they're acting like a woman. But it's not part of their nature. It's a yetzahara that's kind of grown on them. But this is part of her nature. It's with it, it's the nature of her soul. She gets hit, gets angry, and holds a grudge. Bishvilazo hochcha shebala ino hevota. For her, this is proof that her husband does not love her. Mamash, that's what she feels. Even though you're giving it over with the kindest, loving uvda. The fact is, Harehu Machapes et Hakishlonot Vatuyotchala. The fact is, he's been looking for her failures and her mistakes. Kamoshikatav, like it's written, Kamoshikatav Hamakubal Heloki Rabbi Avraham Azulai, like the holy Makubal Rabbi Avraham Azulai wrote, B'Peirusho Al Masechet Avot, on his commentary to Masechet Avot. What did he write over there? He wrote, Va'al Tishtadel Lirot, Lirotot, B'Sha'atot, Kalklatot. It says in Masechet Avot that a person who is who's made a mistake or is embarrassed, you shouldn't look at him at the time of his embarrassment. Like a person who's made a mistake, person who falls over, person who made...
Tishtadel is what language?
Tishtadel is to try.
So
here in the commentary to that law in Avot, Rab Avraham Azulai says, "Va'al tishtadel le'orto, don't try and look at him. B'shat kalkalato, at the time of his error. B'shat nafilato, or the time of his falling. B'kishlono, his failure. Ki'ad, why not? Ki'ad hu mitchabe le'val yiru ba'ra'ato. Because at that time he's trying to hide, right, from being seen. He wants the world, he wants the floor to open up and swallow him. Right? He doesn't want to be seen. Whenever someone makes a mistake, they don't want people looking at them. And when you look at him, right, that it's obvious that you're trying to look at him. He thinks that you're happy at his fault. Right? Why shouldn't you look at a person when they fall, says Avraham Azulai? Because the person's trying to hide, he's embarrassed, he doesn't want to be seen right now. No one wants to be seen when they're embarrassed. And if you're trying to look, or if you're looking at him, then the person who's embarrassed sees that you're looking at him and thinks that you're that you're happy that he fell. Truth is, he's probably right. Right? We have a Yetzer Hara that we like to see people falling. Makes us feel better. Right? At least I didn't fall. At least, you know, I didn't mess up like he did. And I feel good about myself on the back of someone else. Oh, it's a classic case of Lashon Hara. Right? What's the benefit in Lashon Hara? What do I get out of Lashon Hara making someone else feel bad? What do I get? What I get out of it is that I feel good because, like the two kids told to me by Rav Miller Zatzal. What's Lashon Hara like? Lashon Hara is like two children who are trying to measure themselves one against the other. And they're both around the same size. So one says to the other, I'll stand on the sidewalk and you stand on the road. I put him down on the road so he looks bigger. Well, that's what Lashon Hara is. Lashon Hara is putting someone down so that I look bigger. So, and the same idea. Looking at someone who's fallen makes me feel good. It's a big Yetzer Hara, it's not good. Right, but it makes the person feel very bad. And that's what the wife feels. A wife, when she's being criticized, anyone when they're being rebuked, but the wife particularly, because she's the most sensitive to it, she feels like that same situation. That in her time of embarrassment, you're looking at me in my time of embarrassment. You're obviously don't love me. Okay, Ilu haya labal lev ragish. If the husband had a caring heart, haya basugal lachush belimdod ad kama pogin divrei habikoret. He would be able to feel how much his words of criticism hurt his wife. V'ha'arot she'yotzim mipiv, and the criticism that comes out of his mouth. Afilu ne'amu ba'ofen akif, even if he said it in a roundabout way. V'shelo almanat latzeit isho, and not in order to hurt his wife. Hayamotse she'dvarav hem k'chitzei ra'al. It turns out that his words are like poisonous arrows, hapolchim et halev, that strike the heart, the yordim chardei beten, and go straight into her soul. Ve'ein safek she'ayan nimna l'marma, and there's no doubt that he should have not. He should just not said it. Right? Even if it's a roundabout way. Right? You didn't like the cholent, you thought it was a bit burnt. Better not to say anything. It's not going to help. She's going to get hurt. It's really bad. Your feet.
It's worse than that.
It's a lot worse. Okay.
I don't like cholent anymore.
We're not done. We're only on 4 out of 9. 5. Number 5 out of 9. If the message isn't clear yet, we'll keep going. Number 5 reason not to criticize. Misha Meir Hu Gavtan. The person who criticizes is a Gavtan, is an arrogant so and so. Hametziyoti, the reality is. Sha'al Piwov, that most of the time, Habao Shemeir, a husband that criticizes, Eino Oseh Zot, he doesn't do this. Lo Ba'adinut. He doesn't do this with gentleness and not out of pure intentions. Truth is, most of the time a husband does not do it out of pure intentions. Ella yeshlo min dachaf kazeh. Rather, he's got a kind type of an urgency. La'ir, to criticize. La'ashim, to blame. Litlonen, to complain. Litzoches or not, to find fault, besovavim otor, in something that, in whatever's around him. Right? Somebody upset me, and I now need to get it off my chest. I don't know if you've ever had that situation. Someone upsets you, and you come back home, and suddenly you're finding fault. You go to the fridge, and the milk's empty. Where's the milk? You didn't get another one? You didn't buy another one? Right? You've just then, in that sense, you just like destroyed your shalom by it, by saying, why didn't you buy another bottle of milk? Is that the last one? Criticizing your wife, Keila, why? But I came in upset. I just needed to get it out there. I just wanted to get it off my chest. I was angry. I put my anger onto my wife, asked for shalom. Right, that's what happens, unfortunately. Right, she's the one who takes it. Right, so most of the time, we have to be very careful. That all that is criticism. Criticism just comes out because we feel a need just to, unfortunately, blame, complain. Dachaf zeh mikoro b'gava. Right, this urgency, its source is in arrogance. Ba'achzariot, in cruelty, u'b'choseh shlita atzmit, and in a lack of self-control. Ki ha'arot eilu tamid matchilot mibikaratiot, because these criticisms always start from criticism. We don't have so many words in English to translate this. Me'ein ra'ah. Right, from a bad eye, from a bad place. Midrisha l'shlemut. I don't even know how to translate that.
You want perfection.
From perfectionism.
Demanding perfection.
Demanding perfection, Yofi. From demanding perfection, Pauline. Behen yotzi, right, why is this house not tidy? Who left this on the floor? Why are the dishes still in the sink? Right? Ga'ava, ga'ava. Get off your high horse and stop being such a... Right, it's not coming from a good place. Yes, and I dress it up as a good place. I want my house tidy. It's good to be tidy. It's good not to leave things on the floor. Yofi, that's true. But it's a Yetzirah. Dressing up as a Yetzirah. Truth is, it's me full of arrogance. It's not for me. If I've got a problem with stuff on the floor, I should pick it up. I got a problem with dishes in the sink. I should go and wash them. Yeah, but it's the wife's job. No, it's not. She's got plenty of things to do.
The children help the wife.
Right? Behen yotzim min haper. They come out of a person's mouth. Kachitzim mural lim. Like poisonous arrows. Lelev liba shalisha. To the heart of a woman.
Depth of the heart of a woman.
The depth of the heart of the woman. לכן הבעל צריך להתבונן בעין האמת. Therefore, a husband needs to consider very carefully from a true place. מאיזה מקור נובעת הערות שהוא מעיר לשתות? From what place are his criticisms really coming from? Right? Why did I really say that? My wife just got upset, and all I did was say, who left the lid off the toothpaste tube, right? All I did was say whatever it was. But then I need to, why did she get upset? It was a fair enough remark, it was a fair enough comment. But the moment I see that she's upset, I need to do cheshbon nefesh. Why is she so upset? What did I say? It wasn't so wrong. Let's look at it from a place of truth. Okay. Maybe, just maybe I said something inappropriate. And just maybe it wasn't coming from a good place. Truth is, it wasn't. I need to find that myself in my cheshbon nefesh to realize that it's coming from a place of ga'avah, it's not coming from a holy place. If he will be truthful, he will see that that criticism was actually rooted in ga'avah, arrogance, and achsariot, and cruelty. And certainly he needs to work on himself. To uproot this evil bidah, this evil trait. Shall be karatiot. Kafiatit. Obsessive criticism. A husband that obsessively criticizes, obsessively finds fault, that obsessively is unhappy with his home, it's not running the way I want it to run. Shem is telling him something. Cheshbon nefesh. Frat Hashem should merit to do our cheshbon nefesh.